Thank you, Lord. Lord, you love our families more than we love them. And when we make mention of them, Lord, we're not trying to twist your arm. But we're in agreement with you down here. Lee made reference a while ago, where any two are gathered, but it's also with any two shall agree. It's touch anything as they shall agree and ask. We pray over our children. We pray, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And we pray for those in authority, Lord. We cease not to pray for our leaders, leaders of our nation, leaders of our states, leaders of our cities and counties and communities. We pray for all in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You said, first of all, that there be prayers and supplications and thanksgiving be made for all men, especially for those in authority. But that's your will. It is good and acceptable with you. And so we also bring this before you this day, because we stand in agreement here as doing our part, co-laboring together with you. Hallelujah. John Wesley said years ago, it seems that God can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Well, you've included us. You've not excluded us. We're the body of Christ now on the earth. Hallelujah. We thank you. Thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for people that are watching, who are joining us this morning. Praise God. We thank you for our church family online and friends and even those who will watch even this day or at a later date that we don't even know, but you know. And you've ordained, Lord. You've ordained and ordered their steps. And we don't see it as just a coincidence or just perchance. No, divine. Divine direction, divine order. Hallelujah. We thank you for your words. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for utterance. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated in just a second. Are we live? Hey, everybody. It's good to see everybody. We're just enjoying the presence of God in here. So we just invite you, praise God, right there where you are, you just lift your hands up to the Lord. He's mindful of you. He knows exactly where you are. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. So he's with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord. The Lord is good to us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. Y'all ready to get in a few things this morning? And then we'll see what goes on. We're not done yet. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, we bless our children. You know, things are a little bit different, even with the schools and stuff, and all of our children and youth. But we surround them. I know we cover them in prayer on our Tuesday night prayers, but even here we agree. I'm telling you, when we pray like we did just a few minutes ago, when we yield to things in our understanding and in the Spirit takes hold together with us. That's what Romans chapter 8 says. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now we know we need to pray. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and faint not. So we know we're to always pray. He said always. What does always mean? We're always communing with the Lord. We are always, you know, acknowledging Him. Like Proverbs says, in all of our ways, we acknowledge Him. So we're always praying. We should. And we shouldn't grow weary in well-doing and in prayer, Jesus said. Paul said the same thing. But the Holy Ghost is our helper. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. He knows all things. He searches all things. He knows what is the mind of the spirits and what's going on in people's lives. And the thing about Him, He knows 3 months from now what's going on. You don't. I don't. He does. He knows a year from now. He knows 3 weeks from now. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. That's why we yield to Him. That's why we allow Him to help us. Praise God. And He does help us. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Praise God. Amen. Amen. Papa, let's worship the Lord in our giving. Leave. Anybody need an envelope if you didn't get one? Amen. Glory to God. And those of you online, I know our church family and some friends that we have, just remind you, if you desire to give, then you can go. There's a link on our Facebook page there to our website. You can go to our website, gfcjasper.church. And there's a link there where you, if you desire to give, you can do that as well. And we are thankful to God, and we're thankful for you. Amen. Praise God. It's like Paul said in the book of Corinthians, this causes many thanksgiving to abound and to redound to God's glory. I mean, when you sow and you give out of a heart of love, and God multiplies that seed and he uses that to bless people's lives and to bring the word of God to them. I mean, it's a big deal, guys. It's a big thing with God. You remember even Cornelius, when Peter went to his house, Peter told Cornelius, or the angel was, not Peter, but the angel ministered to Cornelius, and he told him, he said, your prayers and your alms, your giving, has come up as a memorial before God for the throne of heaven. You know, I read things like that. That means something to me. That means that it is something that God receives and is dear to his heart. Amen. You know why? Because he so loved that he gave to us. Is Jesus greater than anything? Amen. I mean, God gave Jesus to us. He gave life and salvation and deliverance to us through his Son. There's nothing greater than that. He's given us the greatest. And he's given us just a few things richly to enjoy, the scripture says. No, he's given us all things. And you know why? He gives them to us because he knows we enjoy them. Just because we enjoy them. He's a good, good father. Oh, hallelujah. It's a privilege, guys. It's easy peasy. I can tell you right now, there's no pressure. I know a lot of times people put pressure on people and giving and all that kind of stuff, and they pull on people and try to make them feel condemned if they don't and all that kind of stuff. That's not the Lord. It's really not. This whole thing is hinged on giving and receiving. I say it like this, it's mutual. It's mutual, guys. It's a fellowship. It is a communion with the Lord. If it's not fellowship and communion, then it's works. I won't get off into that, praise the Lord. But that ain't what we're preaching on today, but it's good. It's good anyhow. It's a joy. You know, praise God. It's just a joy. It's good to do things in peace and in joy because that's what faith is. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Well, anything you need to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, why are you doing it? It ain't doing you any good if you don't believe in it. There's no faith in it. But what you believe in and what you really have faith in, there should be some joy and peace in it. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for these gifts. We honor you with these gifts, and we are thankful for all that you've given us and all that you bestow upon us through Jesus. And out of your great love, receive these gifts. Multiply the seed. Increase the fruits of our righteousness. Oh, praise God, that it may be greater and that we get greater glory and honor to your name. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And y'all can receive that. Let's go in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. While they're receiving our gifts there, let's go to the 9th chapter of Matthew. We're going to continue. Praise the Lord. We started a series a few weeks ago. And oh, by the way, while you're turning in your Bibles there, let me remind everybody, glory to Jesus. Y'all ready? Giddy up. What's the day? Days of six, right? So a week from day is what? Is it 13? If the day's the sixth, what's a week from today? No, a week from today, Steve Sampson. Yeah, it is the 13th. But a week from today, we're going to have Brother Steve with us. I'm telling you guys, he's just going to be with us in our morning service. We're just having a morning service. So buckle your seatbelts. Invite your friends. Let the folks know. We'll let the church fam know. Make sure. Because I know some people are still watching us online. That's why Holy Ghost reminded me. We're going to have Brother Steve with us next Sunday morning, 10:30. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you. And the Lord, when I called him, the Lord had already spoke with him a couple of weeks earlier and told him that he knew he needed to come. 2 weeks before the Lord, or a few weeks before, maybe been two or three, he had already been, the Holy Spirit had been ministering some things and witnessing in him that he needed to come here. But like he told me, he said, I would never try to force a meeting on you or call you and say, have me to come to your church. He's a sweet brother. You know what I mean? I said, listen, you can call me anytime. If God really puts something on your heart, we trust each other. I know your heart. You're not trying just, to get a meeting. So I believe it's God. I believe it's going to be good. And it's going to be very timely. And let me say this to you. Just during the week this week, while you're out and about doing your stuff and doing life, lift him up. Yes. Lift him up. Lift Brother Steve and Miss Melody up. Pray for them. Just say, Lord, bless them. Quicken him. Bring things to him. Prepare his heart. Let utterance flow out of him. Let the things of heaven, let the will of God be done in and through his life and ministry. And let the will of God be done here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 9, y'all ready? We started a series on healing. A few weeks ago, the Lord quickened this to me. I've been sitting on this for some months. A few weeks back, he said it's time to do it. But I've been sitting on this for some months now. This ain't just come up the last few weeks when we started it. In other words, it just didn't happen when we started teaching on that Sunday or a few days before. This has been in my spirit for a while. And we're believing God. And I'm asking you to believe God with me. Because if there's ever a time today where people need to receive healing in their lives and really know how to minister healing more to people, it's today. Especially with all that's going on around us. It's always been that way, but especially now. So Matthew chapter 9. Let's look here. In verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Notice this. He went about teaching, preaching, and healing some diseases. There was some that he just couldn't deal with. Now, there were situations where he was around people and he couldn't heal everybody, like in his hometown. The Bible says he could not. Didn't say he didn't want to. He said he could not do no mighty work in his hometown. Just healed a few sick folk. Minor stuff. Maybe a headache or two. It doesn't say headache, but when minor's minor. But we got to understand the purpose of the scripture. There's not any sickness or any disease that Jesus cannot take care of. And really, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he has taken care of it. That's something we're going to get into later. But we're trying to lay a foundation right now to see the heart and the desire and the will of God. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus told his disciples, and not only his disciples, he mentioned this in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, "Those that believe will do the works that I do, and even greater works." But we'll do both. What is the works of Jesus? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Those are the works of Jesus. It tells us here, he was moved with compassion. He saw people scattered without, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers forth into the harvest." He cares about people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only would that apply to pastors after God's own heart, but it also talks about just laborers going into the harvest to minister to people who are weary, who are in need. Tag. You're it. Tag, I'm it. We are the body of Christ, Paul says. Now. We are the body of Christ in the earth. Jesus, it's his physical body, his resurrected, glorified body, the one like we're going to get, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. Now, he can appear. He can come through just like he did with his disciples. But right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We are the body of Christ in the earth. We're to do the works of Jesus. That's why it's so important that we look at these things. And when we begin to look at these things, we begin to acknowledge, number one, that Jesus said in John, the 17th chapter, he said, "And this is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ, whom God sent." So we want to know, and when we talk about know, we're talking about an experiential knowing, not just a head knowledge. We want to know what eternal life really is. Thank God it's everlasting life with him, and we'll get to go to heaven. Amen. If our earthly house, this tabernacle, is dissolved for any reason, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, then we have something already prepared for us. You remember Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Paul had the revelation of this. He said, if our earthly house, this tabernacle, is dissolved, God's already prepared something and got something greater for us. He's built something not made with human hands. And he goes on to say, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. But eternal life is, what Jesus said eternal life is to know God. John wrote an epistle, to the, a letter to the churches, and we looked at this in 1 John chapter 4, I think it's verse 16. He says, "And we have believed and known the love that God has toward us." We're to know the love that God has toward us. We're to believe and know the love that he has toward us. Eternal life is to know God and Jesus. And the reason we started with this and begin to lay this foundation is because when you really begin to know God and the love that he's committed toward us and how much he loves us and cares for us, you would never question his will to heal. And yet, so many people, millions of people, even in the body of Christ, question whether it's his will to heal. You know, last week we dedicated a beautiful young girl. And they were all here. What a blessing. And yet the Lord told me, he said, "You've got your object lesson." Because we went and looked at John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and Jesus shared some things with him. One of the things he said to Nicodemus, he said, "If I tell you earthly things and you believe not, then how can I share with you and expound spiritual things to you?" Listen, what he was saying was, I have used earthly illustrations. I've used earthly things to the purpose of it is to get you to believe the truth, to experience eternal life, to know God and to know me. Jesus said eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." But he said, if I tell you earthly things and you believe not, that tells me the only purpose he used the earthly things to illustrate things was to get them to believe. Believe what? The truth. And to know the truth. Why? Because when you know the truth makes you free. So, right out of the gate, we see at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, This is Roger's translation or paraphrase. "You got any kids? You got any kids at the house? Well, if they ask you for some biscuits or some cornbread," say we're in the South, "what are you going to give them? You going to go out there and give them some rocks out of the yard?" If you've just prepared some blackened grouper from the Gulf Coast, I could spice it up a little bit here, but I better stop. In other words, if you have some fish prepared, what you gonna give them? You're going to throw a copperhead, a live copperhead or a rattlesnake on their plate. Oh, I tell you what, you prepare some eggs for them at breakfast. If they ask you for some eggs, Mom, Dad, can I have some eggs, please? No, I tell you what, here's a scorpion. Put that in your mouth. You know, he actually said that. I mean, I look at that sometimes and go, why would he even do that? Why would you even say such a thing? I mean, we all know the answer to all that. He said, because if you would not do that, or you, in other words, you wouldn't give your kids something bad, but you want good for them, and you would give them the good, not the bad. He said, how much more, not on an equal plane, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you good things? What is he doing? He's establishing the heart of God, the desire of God. We looked at this Wednesday night. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know the Word became flesh. He goes on to say this, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And he says this, you know, the law came by Moses, was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Then it says this, no man has seen God at any time. I'm talking about with his natural physical eyes. Now we've seen his creation, we've seen things, but you've not seen God with your physical eye. He said, no man has seen God at any time has seen God. But the only begotten Son who was in his bosom, he, Jesus, has declared him. He has declared him. How are you going to know what God's like? How are you going to know what the will of God is? How are you going to know if it's God's will? You're going to look at Jesus. Jesus has declared him. That's why Jesus came out of the gate. He began to talk about some earthly things to get people to believe and to see and to know the Father and to know his desire and his will in his heart. And yet, there's three things that we talked about that make the Word of God of none effect. Unbelief, Hebrews 4 talks about that. In the gospel, we see that the tradition of men make the Word of God of none effect. And then, of course, Paul said it like this. He says, Christ has become of no effect to you, those of you who are under the law. So we're going to deal with three things right off the bat here. And the first one is tradition. You remember that's what we've been talking about, is tradition. You know, Jesus used earthly things like the parable of the sower. You know, a farmer knows certain things. What you plant in the ground, you water it, you keep it, that's what you're getting. You know, Jesus said you can plant the Word of God into your heart. And if you want to allow the distractions of this life and the other things he listed above that, and your heart's good ground, it'll bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Why? For they are life unto those that find them, and they are health and medicine to their flesh. The Word of God will heal you. It'll bring forth healing in your body. F.F. Bosworth said this in his book, Christ the Healer. He said, you put the Word of God in your heart in sufficient measure. You remember Jesus said, what measure you meet with all, it'll be measured. You put the Word of God in your heart in sufficient measure. He said this, he said, it will live its own life in you. I get chicken skin thinking about that. Oh, praise the Lord. So we're having to deal with some things, praise God. That's why Jesus used illustrations like the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower has the same truth in it in Proverbs chapter 4. That's why you attend and pay attention to the Word of God. You keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. Jesus expounded on this in the parable of the sower. He used natural things to teach people to believe and to see spiritual truths. But you know what? He wants to take us further. John 3:12, he said, if I tell you earthly things and you believe not, how can I tell you spiritual things? In other words, he wants to expound some spiritual things to us with even not having to use natural illustrations. As you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. He's calling us out. Let me tell you something. I'm not teaching on healing just to be teaching on healing. Guys, it's my heart's cry, even for my own personal life. Lord, help me to see things I haven't seen and to know things. Help me to where I can receive it greater. Minister to people. Pray with people. See the power of God work in their lives. Oh, hallelujah. I got to keep moving. Y'all ready? Praise God. Amen. Go with me you're right there in Matthew. Go to the 16th chapter. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? All right. We know the situation. Jesus said, you're the Christ. He said, flesh and blood is not revealed to this you, Peter, but my Father. Okay? But here's the thing I want to bring out of this portion of Scripture here. What people say about Jesus, let me take it another step further. What people say about divine healing is everything. In other words, what people think and what people say is really what they believe. But what you say about healing is very important. Some people say it's not God's will to heal in every situation. That's what some people say. But they've not looked at the life and ministry of Jesus. Or let me say it like this. They can't look at the life and ministry of Jesus and say that. Now, there were people who did not receive. But you'll never find a situation or case where Jesus was not willing to heal somebody. And he has declared the Father. He has made him known to humanity. The problem is we've been so religiously brainwashed, and we've not been New Testament taught. And we've allowed the traditions of our families and our relatives and people, and even sometimes cases ministers who stood in the pulpit and say things. But what does the Bible say? What has Jesus declared? Because we have to filter everything through Jesus. Why do we do that? Because Jesus told Philip, when Philip asked him, show us the Father. He said, Philip, don't you know you've been with me all this time? You don't understand, son? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Guys, this is important. Because when people get in situations, listen to me, when people get into situations and maybe they don't see what they desire to see or as quickly as they desire to see it, I can promise you, according to Scripture, that the devil will piggyback on that and come and bring the question to mark to your mind. He'll tempt you he'll try to bring the question mark in your heart about God concerning you. He did in the garden. He did when Jesus showed up on the scene. And Jesus said, you're not above him. We're not above him. If he was tempted and tested and things come at him, not just in the wilderness, but in other situations, he said, you're not above your master. A disciple's not above his master, his teacher. And yet, when we get into situations, I can tell you right now, the devil wants to bring the question mark into your heart about God and his love for you or his will towards you. Because if he can do that, then that eliminates true faith and confidence. For example, if you don't believe that it may be God's will to heal you in this situation, or if you question God's will about healing you or healing everyone all the time, then I can tell you right now, the devil will make sure you're the one that God's will is not to heal. It'd be okay for brother or sister so-and-so here, but not you. And it's robbed many people. Listen, I've had family members that I went into to minister to, and I've had them look me in the face and tell me, well, I believe God's got a purpose for me being sick. I believe he's wanting to teach me some things. God needed to put me on my back so I could come closer to him. I've had family members tell me, well, there's a reason that God's done this. You know, there's always, you know, we just believe that it's his will. Whatever happens, you know, we know, just believe whatever happens. You know, all things work together for good. And they'll pull that scripture out of context and we'll just say, whatever happens, you know, it's just, it's God's will. It's his will to be done. We never know. We just don't, you know, he has a reason for this. I've had people tell me that. I've had my family tell me that. I'm not making something up. You know, millions of people are still there. And it robs them of true faith and confidence and assurance. A true expectation. And all it is because of something they've either heard from a pulpit or they've heard somebody in their family say, or somebody, you know, a friend. But what does the Bible say? I remember a fellow minister talked about a time he was confronted by a lady after service. And she approached him quickly. And when she approached him, she could tell, you know, she didn't look too happy. Wondered what the deal was. And she, first thing she said, she said, I have a problem with what you preached on today. First thing she said, I have a problem with that. And he said, ma'am, I'm sorry. What is the problem that you had with what I ministered and preached? And she said, the song says that it's this and this and this. And he took his Bible out and he said, ma'am. And he opened the scriptures that they looked at and he preached on in the sermon. And he said, ma'am, what about this? What about this? And cutting this thing short, finally she said, well, I don't care. The song says it's this way and I believe what the song says. And she turned around and walked off from him. Now, see, we think that's I know that's sort of in the ditch. I know that's sort of the deal. But you know, people are like that. And even though they may not confront or walk up and confront a minister after a service, they'll sit in the seats and walk out of the church service and they'll have problems with what's being said because of tradition that's in their heart. They may not go and confront the minister, but they still have the same issue. I just don't believe it's God's will. I don't believe it's that prosperity stuff's God's will. Listen, guys, just because there's been misuse and abuse by some people, you know, we have an old saying, an earthly saying, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But just because people have misused some things, listen, you got to go back from the beginning of time. Creation, God has always wanted to bless his man. The Bible, the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. I mean, I could give you numerous scriptures. And it goes back to what Jesus said right out of the gates. He said, let me ask you a question. You want your kids poor? You want your kids poor? Can't pay their bills. That's what you want for your kids, right? That's a good parent. You want them struggling. Don't want to have to, God forbid they have a little extra money in their billfold. God forbid that they have a little extra income where if they saw somebody, or a little lady and her two little kids in the grocery line, God forbid that they would be willing to take a little extra money that they had because God blessed them, and they could go ahead and say, "Ma'am, I want to take care of that for you." God forbid any of that. That's not the will of God, right? Oh, people, we're going to deal with some of this stuff. Y'all ready to deal with some of this stuff? Yeah. I mean, I know I've been doing this for a few weeks here, but let's hit the ground running. You ready? Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Let me tell you something. What you think and what you believe and what you say about healing is everything when it comes to healing. Just like when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" We done read that Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Healing was a third of his ministry. And we know that Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same today. I don't understand. Well, no, that stuff passed away, and it, you know, he just did it for certain things back then to prove he was the Son of God. No, no, no. We'll get into some of this stuff. Proverbs chapter 3, before we read the scripture, I had this happen a couple of weeks ago. I was talking with someone, and we was talking about some of the pandemic and all the stuff that's going on. And listen, and all this is just the way you were taught. So when I say some of these things, please, please understand, this is not a put down. This is not to criticize anybody. We're not here to condemn anyone. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn people. And I'm telling you right now, I have no desire to preach things that would bring condemnation to your heart. But you do have to address some things sometimes. Paul did. He's the greatest grace preacher, you know, there was. But he had to address certain things at times. Okay? You do it from a redemptive angle to try to help people. Okay? But not to put people down. Listen, I've asked Dana this before, you know, because sometimes I felt like when you share certain things, it could come across that way. It could come across that you're sort of, you know, putting a burden on people or something like that. No, I'm not interested in putting a burden on people or condemning people or trying to put people under the law. Okay? But sometimes you just have to trust God and the Spirit of God to help you minister things that it comes across the way that He wants it done. You know, and I realize that sometimes people hear things you don't say. Yeah. I remember Brother Hagin, I was listening to one of his services one time, and he talked about he was in a church ministering. Of course, he did weeks, and, you know, he'd go in and do a few weeks. And he ministered one night. The next night, the pastor's up there on the stage with him, and he stood up and he said, "You know, Brother Hagin, last night he said this, you know." And the pastor's wife stopped right there and said, "Honey, Brother Hagin didn't say that." I mean, she stopped him in the service because what he said, Brother Hagin said, now we've got social media and stuff. I mean, he'd go all everywhere. She said, he did not say that. And he turned around and said, Brother Hagin, what did you say? And Brother Hagin just sort of smiled. He said, "This is what I said." And everybody agreed. And here's what he said. This is the point, the punchline right here. He said, "That dish didn't happen to me once. It happened," and here's the way he said, "It happened to me again and 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 again." You minister things and you say things and people hear something that you did not say. Or they take it and they'll just hear one phrase and they didn't listen to what you said before or after. And they'll hear just one little phrase, and then they'll use it just like people can twist scripture, take it out of its context, and go off with it and say, "Well, this is what he said." In other words, they're trying to say this is what he really meant, when that's not what he meant. And really, sometimes it's not even what you said. So don't hear what I'm not saying. Because all of this is to bring life to us. But Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" That still applies today. Because what you say is really what you think and believe. I had a guy say this to me. Well, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm just going to go, you know, I'll go out and live life during this thing. Doesn't matter. Because, listen, when it's your time to go, when God calls you and it's your time, there ain't nothing you can do about it. That's not scriptural. People take the scripture over in Hebrews 9 where it says, for it's appointed once for man to die, and then after that, the judgment. It didn't say when. It said once. Listen to me. Does God know when we're going to die? Yes. Because God knows the end from the beginning, the Bible says. Absolutely. God knew the day that you come out of your mother's womb, what day you were coming home to Him. He has that foreknowledge and that ability to know that. But He doesn't pick a day and say, well, this is your day and you're coming because this is my will for you. But you know, a lot of people believe that. Matter of fact, that ain't the first time I've heard that phrase or one very similar to that. Well, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go, bless God. That's not scriptural, folks. Yeah, you're going to go once, and if Jesus tarries, we're all going to go. Everybody's going to step over, and they're either going to go to heaven or hell, okay? We know that from the scriptures. But let me read a scripture to you right here. Proverbs chapter 3. You ready for this? Verse 1. My son, forget not my law or my word, but let thine heart keep my commandment. Now listen, this is the book of wisdom, isn't it? Is it Proverbs the book of wisdom? Absolutely. He said, look at verse 2. For length of days, and look at this, long life and peace shall they add to thee. So do you know, according to this scripture, that life, length of days, and long life can be added? Well, how's it going to be added? When people don't forget the Word of God and keep the Word of God in their heart. In other words, the Word of God in a man's heart can add days to that man's life. What if a man doesn't put the Word of God or esteem God's Word in his heart? According to this, it's possible that some days may not be added. So it's not just when your time to go, you're going no matter what. And there's nothing, listen, here's the phrase that the man told me, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. How many people, you reckon how many people on the earth think that? Let me ask you this, how many people you think that are Christians think that? What does the Bible say? Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So you need a couple of more? Go to the 13th verse. Let me see here. Let me make sure I got my reference right. Yeah, 13th verse. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So a person who esteems wisdom, well, you know, the Bible tells us now in Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Jesus has made unto us wisdom. So that tells me, let me couple this with and filter it through Jesus and through Christ. Jesus is now our wisdom. The preaching of the cross is the wisdom of God and the power of God. So if you'll get your life and your heart filled with the truth of what took place at the cross and how you were redeemed from the curse, because the preaching of the cross is the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you seek after this wisdom and put it above rubies and silver and gold, and you get your heart established in this, it'll add days to you. It'll cause you to have length of days. It's not just, well, when it's your time, and there's nothing you can do about it. Do you know that's a tradition? Do you know that people really that believe that way, that there's nothing you can do about it when it's your time to go? You know what happens? The Word of God is of no effect in their life. It won't have the effect that it can have. We've done found out if a person will put the Word in their heart and esteem it in the manner that they should, that it can add some days to them. Oh, praise the Lord. Go to the fourth chapter. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. Notice it says promote thee, not demote. It shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Guys, notice that calls wisdom a she. Hallelujah. And then all the guys pop up and say, yes, but in Christ there's neither male nor female. Amen. And I say sometimes yes, sometimes wisdom. Guys, wisdom is a she. She's talking to you in the living room. You need to listen to her. Or on the phone. Yeah, or in the car. Yeah, because a lot of times guys will pay, they'll book flights, get hotel rooms, go to conferences, spend money to get the wisdom. And she told you that 2 months ago, what the guy said up on the stage. You come back and said, oh, honey, he said this. And she said, yeah, I told you that 2 months ago. Did you remember? You paid a bunch of money and stayed in a room and traveled, and I told you the same thing. If you'd just listened, we'd save you some money. But anyway. I better move on. That's right. Listen to this. She shall give to thine head, verse 9, an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So this has to do with years being many. Well, what if somebody doesn't hearken to this? It could affect how many. It's just not when your time to go, you're going to go no matter what, and you ain't got anything that you can do about it. Oh, glory to God. Chapter 9. You ready for this one? Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're talking about respect and honor. I'm not talking about being afraid of Him. He's your daddy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Look at this. For by me, talking about the fear of the Lord and having reverence and honor for God in your life. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So it tells me right here that your life, days in your life, can be multiplied and they can be increased. I'm talking about what someone would consider, well, it's just when it's my time to go, it's going to go. In other words, there's appointed day. See, it says it's appointed once for man to die, not when. And people twist that scripture over in Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah, if Jesus tarries, we're all going to experience the once. But the when can determine on different factors and situations. In other words, right here, God's wisdom to us would tell us if we will really honor God in our lives. Part of honoring God is listening to God, following His Spirit, listening to Him, being led by Him. If you listen to Him, He can keep you out of places and situations that there is a possibility that something could go haywire wrong. We'll see this in just a minute. But my point is, days can be, they can be added, they can be multiplied, and they can be increased. You got the deal. What about Ephesians chapter 6? Ready? This was even under the commandments, but it was carried over. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me get here right quick. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice that phrase, parents in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means to me for this purpose. Godly parents or parents in the Lord are parents who are trying to communicate spiritual things to you, bringing you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We see this. They're trying to instruct you with spiritual truths and things, because that's what in the Lord is. In other words, if a parent tries to get a child or a teenager to go and rob somebody or steal at that store because they don't want to do it, but they want him to do it, that child or that teenager is not obligated to go steal or rob a store up or service station up because the parent wants them to do it. Go in, I want you to go rob it. That parent's not in the Lord. I know that's the first illustration that comes to me. I could probably use a better illustration than that, but you get the point. That parent's not in the Lord. It's not instructing a child or a young person in the Lord. We're not obligated. A parent that tells his child, I don't want you to ever have anything to do with that God stuff and that Jesus stuff. You obey me. You understand? That child is not obligated to obey that parent when a parent tries to tell them to have nothing to do with Jesus. You see that? You see my... But that's not what he's talking about here. Notice what he says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. This was the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. What's the promise? Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now what does that mean? That means... If a child, listen, there's been children or youth throughout history that's not obeyed their parents like they should, and they've lived long on the earth. They've lived 80, 90 years. You see what I'm saying? I mean, there's people that's done that. So he's not saying that everybody that disobeys their parents in the Lord will die young. What he's saying is that it may be well with thee and that you may live long on the earth. What he's saying is if you won't hearken until the instruction, godly instruction from your parents when it comes to spiritual things and things that they're trying to minister to you, if you won't listen to that and follow that, then there is a possibility. If you go a different way, remember there's a way that seemeth right to a man or to a person, but the end of that way is death. If you rebel and won't hearken to what they're trying to tell you and that you do something different, there is a possibility that you could find yourself in a place, a circumstance, a situation that it won't be well with you. And even to the point that you put yourself in a position where something fatal could happen to you. So that sort of knocks that thing in the head. Well, everything happens for a purpose. Everything happens for a reason. You know, it's just God's will. We don't know these things, but it's just the will of God. No. No, no, no. No. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Sin pays. I'm talking about it pays. Pays wages. Now listen, we're under grace, and we'll get into some of the stuff when we get over in that third part about, you know, the Word of God being of no effect to those of you who are under the law. We'll talk about some of that. But I'm telling you, we need to hearken. We need to acknowledge the Lord in our ways. We want to be led by Him. That's the bottom line in all this, guys. He'll help us with health. He'll help us with these things. But a lot of this stuff that people have in their thinking and what they talk about healing and about, well, if it's God's will, you know, He may be doing this to teach me. It may not be His will to heal me. If it's the Lord's will for me to be healed, then I'll be healed. God sometimes doesn't choose to heal everybody. You just never know. God's ways are mysterious. All these kind of things. We've heard these things, guys. I want to say this again. I'm not saying these to put down people. I remember one of my family. Well, it's my mother. I'll go ahead and say it. It's my mother. About 2 years before she left here, the Lord spoke to me. I mean, it wasn't audible, but it was very authoritative. And He did it for two things. because he loved her and he loved me. And I was, at that time, really I was the only one in my family. At this time, I'm talking about this thing where he spoke to me. I'm talking about my immediate family, the family that I was born into. My brothers, sisters, mom, dad, nephew. I was the only one that was really at the time back in church going with the Lord. None of them were. Now, they would have been saved at a younger age and stuff, but you know how it is. You get away. You like the prodigal son. You just get out in the world and things, and other things enter and distracted. You just laugh. But the Lord spoke to me about Mother because she had dealt with so many physical issues over the years, and God had rescued her. I mean, she'd had breast cancer. Y'all mind us being family here just for a few minutes before we walk out of here, before we get out of here? She had breast cancer. It was malignant, and lymph nodes, all that deal. And she got aggravated at the doctor and daddy. I think she took one treatment. And after the treatment, there was a remark made to her. She got offended and got mad and never would go back to the doctor and said, to heck with everybody. 10 years later, they couldn't find a trace of cancer in her. And she never went back to a doctor, never did any kind of treatment or nothing. And she wasn't, and as far as I could tell, and through her conversation mouth, she wasn't believing God. I don't ask me. She had major stroke, brain surgery. Had to fly in from a helicopter in another situation. These are two different. Had another situation. I won't get into all of it. Had to fly from a helicopter from Coleman to Birmingham, and I met her in Birmingham. I walked into the ICU unit. Listen, she was almost unrecognizable as far as swelling and all this stuff in her. And she was just, but I got down in her ear. I said, Mama. I remember praying in the Holy Ghost. I left the church when they got news to me at the church. It was on a Wednesday night. I remember it. And I left and went to Brookwood Hospital. They flew, and I may get my hospitals maybe in Caraway at that time, but you know how it was because of the trauma deal and all that. But anyway, they got her in there. I remember going in the ICU room unit, getting down in there, getting in her ear because they had tubes running in her and all that kind of stuff. I said, Mama. I said, don't worry about it. I said, I'm here, and everything's going to be all right. And then I walked out to the fam out there, sitting out there in the waiting room, and we had a come-to-Jesus meeting. And I said, I don't want y'all to be upset with me. I don't know if you understand what I'm about to say, but I don't want to hear anybody say anything about her dying. I don't want to hear it coming out of your mouth. I don't want you even breathing it around me. I almost want to slap the taste out of your mouth if you say it. I don't want you going in and her and talking about things where she can hear you, even though she's sort of, I said, because she can. I said, don't you say anything about her dying. You understand me? I mean, I was sort of bold, and they're all looking at me like, you know, Rogers, he's crazy. You know, but God rescued her from that. Brought her out. That's three instances where she could have died. Then she had heart issues. Major heart issues. And ultimately, that's how she left. Was heart failure. But 2 years before she passed away, you know the Lord spoke to me? And here's what he said. He said, your mother has some decisions to make, both physical and spiritual. And if she doesn't make those decisions to make the right decisions in those two areas, she said, she's coming home to be with me. You know, let me say something to you. I didn't hear an audible voice. That was what I heard on the inside of my spirit. And no, here's the deal. He knew she was coming. But he gave her the opportunity and the free will, just like he gives people the free will to get born again and receive him as Savior. Here's another thing he was doing. He was preparing my heart. I knew he was preparing my heart. Because back at that time, listen, I was the one who was sort of called upon, if anything. I mean, a lot of times if something come up, you know, they're calling me. You know, if something get in trouble, something this, that, and the other, calling me. I understand that, and that's fine. I was glad to do it. But the Lord loves us. He'll prepare us. Sometimes things can catch you by surprise. You know, as we say, come out of left field, we weren't expecting it. But I don't blame God in those situations. I think sometimes I've been in situations where I've been distracted. My mind and other things have just been in a place where I wasn't tuned into the radio station. It's not that God's not sending the signals. It's just I've got it on the wrong station right now. My mind, my attention, my soul, I've got it tuned on another station in life. And I'm doing, the Lord still loves us. But it's not that he's not trying to help us. And he's a father who loves us. See, the Spirit knows all things and searches all things. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, we've not received the spirit of the world. We've received the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us so that we can know these things. As he calls me, deeper still as he calls me. See, the Lord wants to call us into deeper waters when it comes to healing. Because it was a third of Jesus' ministry. And we can't just put it off on Jesus now because we're the body of Christ. We're ambassadors. We're to have our hearts established in certain things. Not only so we can receive, but that we can minister it to people. Are you listening to me? I thought we'd be further along. But I'm going to leave you with this. We'll get into this next week, and we're going to look at reasons. The Bible says that Paul went into the synagogue, and he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, how that Christ dies and how he was raised. In other words, what that means is he went in and gave them Scriptures. Now, here's a lot of times we read that stuff. We went in and reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Know what he did? You remember Jesus said, I try to tell you certain things so you will believe? He told Nicodemus that. Paul went in and began to reason with them. Or I like to say it like this. He gave them Scriptures or reasons from the Scriptures for them to believe in Jesus. I said he gave them reasons. We say reason with them, but he opened the Scriptures and gave them different reasons why they should believe on him and who he was and why he came and how he died. And how God raised him and how it was prophesied, the prophets. He carried them back through and gave them reasons to believe, not to doubt. The first case of healing we see when you go to Matthew is the leper. He came to him. Can't prove this, but I don't know. I don't know if he was hiding out, listening to the Sermon on the Mount. You know, because you come right out of in the Gospels, you come right out in our Bible. I don't know the order of it per se, but I look at it and I wonder, what if he was just hiding out? He was from a distance, but he could hear him. And he was teaching on those things. If you being evil want to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Because that's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Beatitudes, right out of that, he came down off and there came a leper and met him. Saul wondered if the leper was hearing some of his teachings, and faith came to his heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, and he approached him. Luke said he was full of leprosy. Luke's a doctor. Matthew says he had leprosy. He was a leper. Luke said he was full of leprosy. Guys, we don't even want to look on something like that, much less touch it. And yet he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, if it be your will, and see, that's where millions of people are. Lord, if it's your will. One translation said, Lord, if you want to, you can heal me. And he reached out and touched him and said, I want to. One translation says, he said, I love it. He said, of course.
Of course I want to. I know this may seem cliche to people when it comes to healing. We've been around these circles and faith circles and whatever for years. But I'm going to tell you something. When you know, why did Paul write those prayers in the book of Ephesians and pray for the church that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened? We would know. The spirit of seeing and knowing. Why did he say in the third prayer that we would be rooted and grounded in love and that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith and that we would come to know and experience this love and be filled with the fullness of God? He's talking about people. If you ever come to the Master and acknowledge Him. Now we're going to get to, we know we're post. I know by His stripes we were healed. And we're going to deal with that. But right now, the purpose of going through all this is to establish the desire and the will and the want to of God. And to see and get true revelation of how much He loves you. John said, we have believed and known the love that God has towards us. God is love. If you're walking in eternal life, then you're knowing you know Him, and you would never question, and the devil would never bring a question mark to your heart and rob you and steal from you of the blessing and what that Jesus died and paid for. But it opens up your heart; it helps you to receive with ease. It doesn't frustrate grace. The law frustrates grace. Oh. If we come to Jesus with our lives when it comes to healing, and if you think, remember Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I'm going to leave you with this. If we come to Jesus at any time today in the area of healing for our bodies, in any situation, and you think, or you hear someone say any other words except, of course I want to, then Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Because if He would say, of course I want to, it's my will, yes, yesterday, but He won't do it today, then He's not the same. And we know that's not true. If you don't have this set up in you like concrete with steel in it, the devil will rob you. He will lie to you and come to you in a given moment. Because I've had many people, Christians, question God's love for their life at the moment, based on the circumstance that they were in, because the circumstance was not as good as they wanted it to be or thought it should be. And so through that circumstance not being what they thought it should be or what they've prayed about and hadn't seen yet, then the enemy began to bring the question mark in their heart about, does God really love me? Does He even desire to answer my prayer? Maybe He has a purpose. Maybe it's not His will this time. Maybe it's just, you know, listen to me. The Holy Ghost just brought this up in me. It's okay to pray God's will be done. Let's take the area of healing for a second. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is it. Listen, you ready? Because I know people struggle with this. That prayer is okay to pray. Let me give you an example. Let's say we was praying for Margaret earlier. You know, you got issues, things you need strength in your body, quickenings. Lord, let Your will be done. Let Your will be done in her body. Let the will of God, see, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know what's in heaven. Let that be done in her. See, it's okay to pray the will of God be done when you know what God's will is concerning that. The problem is when people say, if it be thy will, when something clearly states that it is His will. Now, there are times when if it be thy will is okay to pray. Lord, is it your will that I take this position over here? Is this your plan for me? In other words, your will. Is this your plan and purpose for my life? Do you want me to take that step, Father? If so, quicken that. Confirm that in me. Show me. Make known. Let that be clear in my spirit. And then I'll act on it. But when things are the will of God, like, let's not forget all of His benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities and who heals two of our diseases. No, that's why we read in Matthew 9, He went about healing every, one version says every manner, every kind of sickness and every disease. There's none left out. See, His benefits and His love for us is He's forgiven us of all of our sins. See, we would not pray that when it comes to salvation. Well, if somebody, say it like this. Well, if somebody doesn't get saved and they die and go to hell. Well, you just don't know. God had a purpose in that. God may have had a purpose. Just may have not have been His will, and God just may have had purpose. There's some reason. We don't know, but there's a reason. And it's just, you know, the will of the Lord be done. You know, well, if it's God's will for him to be saved, he'll be saved. If it's not, he won't. Now, see, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that when to the new birth. Why would we do that when it comes to healing? But yet people do, because of tradition. But it's okay to pray the will of God be done. Just never pray if it be thy will when it comes to healing. Because the case that we saw, the first thing out of the gate is a leper coming to Jesus who needed healing in his body. And he said, Lord, if it is your will, he said, I will. I want to. Of one translation, of course. If he doesn't say of course to you when it comes to healing, then he's not the same. But how many of you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Can you say amen? Next week we're getting to reasons. I'm going to give you several reasons. We're going to reason from the scriptures. But you're going to like these. No, that's right. Thank you back there. I won't. And I don't think Steve may. But we'll see. Week after next. That's the beauty of being a pastor. You just unhitch and we'll hitch them back up when we come back. You know what I'm believing for? I believe we're going to see a greater demonstration of healing through our lives, through even our church and through the people in the days and weeks and years to, you know, what's ahead for us. I really believe that, guys. I think there's purpose in it because of not only where we are, but how short a time we have and some of the thing that has been spoken and prophesied by the Spirit of God in these last days right before His return. And it's in this area, signs and wonders and healings. You know, you can't believe for something unless you hear it or are hearing it. Faith come by hearing, not, you know, we've heard this, not having heard. Hearing. What are you hearing? Praise the Lord. I'm believing for greater manifestations even in and through my life. I'm coveting that. Not for vainglory, not for reputation. You know why? Because God loves people and people need it. Brother Osteen said this years ago. He said, I've been sick and I've been healed. He said, healed is a whole lot better. And if anybody's ever been sick before and dealing with stuff, when you get better and you're past that thing, you're like, glory be to God. The woman who was bound all those years, Jesus said, ought not this daughter whom being a daughter of Abraham who Satan has bound lo these 18 years. When she was free, the Bible says she gave glory to God. We have no record, listen to me, we have no record in the scriptures that she gave glory to God while she was sick or that sickness brought glory to God. Only after she was free, then we see the phrase that God was glorified. And you'll be surprised how many people think that God's getting glory in their sickness. And I know that hurts some people's feelings because of the experience they went through. But guys, listen to me. We cannot allow personal experience or somebody else's experience to alter the image of God that we see in the face of Jesus Christ. I've had a few experiences, and you probably have too, that it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to or what you wanted to. But that doesn't cause me to begin to develop a belief system and a philosophy in my heart about God and His will to heal just because of what I went through or what happened. Now, what does the Word say? Who is Jesus? What do we say about Him? Is He the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who do men say that I am? And then He said this. He said, who do you say that I am? He is my healer. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He is healing. He is. He's life. He's the author of life. He bought me, paid for me. I'm not even my own anymore. I'm His. Let us pray. Father, thank You. This morning we thank You for Your great love and mercy. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for even the prayers that we prayed earlier for our family, for our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Thank You for words that were spoken in our understanding and in the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank You. And we thank You that You're calling us into deeper waters. Waters represent the Spirit, type of the Spirit. You're calling us out into places that maybe we've not seen the way we want to see it or what's in our heart. But yet, Lord, You're calling us there. You're bidding us to come in faith and to trust You and to look unto You. Oh, praise God, so that we can co-labor together and walk this thing together here. Hallelujah, in these last days. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray for those that have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray right now that their heart be receptive. If you haven't received Him, the Bible says, for as many as received Him, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. You get to become something. Yes, you get to go somewhere one day, but you become sons of God, daughters of God. You get His DNA, His life. You become a brand new species of being in your spirit, man. If that's you, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You now as my Savior and as my Lord. I believe on You. I believe on Your name. I call upon the name of Jesus. I thank You for saving me. Hallelujah. If you meant that from your heart, you know, God looks on the heart and He can tell when a person calls from their heart. I say this all the time. Let somebody know. Tell somebody. Amen, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. You know, I may be missing it, but I don't think I am. But I'm going to be bold enough just to act on it. There's something, I hear the word spleen. There's something going on with somebody's spleen. I don't know if you're watching or I just hear the word spleen. Now, I just believe right now that the Holy Spirit brought that to me. And the only reason He's going to bring it to me is because He wants to minister to whoever that is. I don't know if there's issues or something. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God, He knows the future. It may be something that's spoken, and someone, when they say this, it happens. But I'm telling you right now, you receive that in the name of Jesus. Call your spleen healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yep. Mm. Glory to God. Kidneys. Hear the word kidneys. Spleen, kidneys. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing, the power of God to effect change in your kidneys and in your spleen in Jesus' name. I hear the word the sciatic nerve. Somebody's having a problem, I don't know, with sciatic nerve. Healed in Jesus' name. Changes now. We take authority over that which has caused the pain and discomfort and the dis-ease. In Jesus' name, we command it to stop. In Jesus' name. Migraine, headaches, stop in Jesus' name. There's an ear, somebody's ears, one of your ears is, you got problems with it. Be opened in Jesus' name. Be free. Glory to God. Praise God. This is weird, but I'm going to say it. Foot fungus. Foot, your feet, fungus. I command that to clear up in the name of Jesus. I keep getting, there's more things with feet. Feet. I don't know what the issues are. I don't know. Feet. Feet. Feet be healed. Feet be healed in Jesus' name. Feet be made whole in the name, above every name, the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. I think we're getting a tune-up for next week when Brother Steve comes in. Praise God. You know what? We pray about these things. We pray about manifestations of the Spirit and increase, and God would stretch forth His hand to heal, and signs and wonders be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We covet earnestly the best gifts. We covet these things. We pray for them on Tuesday night. Do we believe we receive these things? If we believe we receive these things and we yield to them, you have to yield by faith. Like I said, I'm not trying to do anything just out of my mind to do stuff, but yet at the same time, I'm going to step out there and be bold. If something, I hear something on the inside, I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to leave it to the Lord. And if I miss it, He'll help me. He'll show me. He'll help me. He knows my heart. I'm not trying to do it to just be doing it. But I'm telling you right now, when things are spoken and it's an unction there, to do it, people, you have to receive it, though. You receive it by faith. Amen? I'm just trying to make sure I'm not, everything's good. Sometimes you get back over in the flesh a little bit. You get to talking there, and you get back out a little bit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we love you. We bless you. I've got something else, but I'm not going to do it on here. The Lord told me not to do it on here. We're good? Sean, you ready to shut me off? We love y'all. We'll see you here Wednesday night at 7 and be back next Sunday morning. Please be sure to come back. And listen, come to the church if you can. If you have that desire, next Sunday, Brother Steve will be here. And matter of fact, I know we've been doing mainly our Wednesday night services online, but we're opening it back up. So if you want to come on Wednesday nights, we're here. We're here. We love you, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Have a great day.